Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We give thanks to the Lord for how He has worked and is working. I have a brief or a quick question to ask of you as we begin our program. Let me ask you this. How many steps does it take to backslide? 1 or 100 or 500 or 1 day? 1 week, 1 year? How long does it take to backslide? Well, let me answer that. If you are not moving when the Lord is moving, then you have backslidden. Doesn't take any steps at all to backslide. A person can backslide when he is not moving forward when the Lord says to move forward. So it is not one step off the path. But another thing I want to bring out is this, that a person can take a step in the wrong direction and doesn't mean he's backslidden. He can take many steps in the wrong direction, doesn't mean he's backslidden. But again, I want to point out that a person who doesn't move when God says to move is a person who is backsliding. Sliding backwards, failing to move forward when the Lord says move. In the book of Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And doesn't mean that it doesn't say how many steps a person has to take in the wrong direction before they are considered a backslider. Now, what do I mean by a person going in the wrong direction? You can do so in ignorance. Now, you're grieving the heart of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will remind you. But when you choose your will and your way over God's way, and you continue on in that way, then you have slidden out of the place of God's blessings for you. Remember how it was with Lot. Lot was a backslider, and we know him as that through the scriptures, that he was a backslider, that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And that began when he set up himself as wanting his own way, what mattered to him. He did not show gratitude to Abraham for giving him all of the many blessings that Abraham had given him. On the other hand, when Abraham went down into Egypt, when he wasn't supposed to go, when Abraham told a lie and said that Sarah was his sister, Isaac did the same thing. We don't think of them as being backsliders. We think of them as having a lapse of faith. When a person refuses to move forward and refuses to trust the Lord and chooses to act independent of God. Now, Abraham was not a right thing for Abraham to do. It was not a righteous thing for him to do. But we don't think of him as being a backslider. We think of the man Lot as being a backslider. Look where he eventually wound up. The backslider is a person who has set himself on a course against the Lord. You know what you ought to do, and you refuse to move forward when the Lord would have you to move. And so you gain that title. You enter into that infamous group of people called backsliders when you refuse to do what you know the Lord has in His Word declared to be right. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that someone today would get busy about the things that Thou hast called them to do, that we would be sensitive unto Thy Holy Spirit, and that we would be obedient unto our calling. We thank Thee that Thou wilt forgive and receive and restore us to a place of blessing and fellowship. This we ask in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Now let's continue on here in the book of Genesis chapter 28. In this portion of scripture, notice what Isaac is doing for Jacob. Rebekah has asked that Isaac send her son away because she doesn't want her son to marry a Canaanite woman. She wants her son to go back to her homeland and find a wife after her own kin. And she says that this would grieve her heart if her son were to marry the wrong person. Well, she wasn't going to be around very much longer. She didn't know that, but she wasn't. And so the thing that grieved her was something that was going to affect her. And she used this, as we mentioned before, as an attempt to get things her way. It sounded good, a very noble gesture to be concerned about your children's spouse or the choices your children would make about a life partner. And so Isaac sends Jacob away, and he goes to Padan Aram unto Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian. Now remember, Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, in which there was a city that worshipped the moon god. And this city was a very industrious city, a very prosperous city, as archaeologists have revealed to us, that there were homes that were multi-storied buildings that these people lived in the Ur of the Chaldees, over in the land where Baghdad and Iraq is located. And so now Isaac is sending his son Jacob quite a distance around the Fertile Crescent. The moon shape up around the Holy Land. They couldn't travel across the desert. It was indeed too far to travel. No supplies, no water. And so they traveled along the coastline up north around the base of the mountains and then traveled south down to Padan Aram, where they would find the relatives of Abraham and Sarah. And so he travels that way, sends him there, and pronounces the blessings upon him. And he blessed him. He gave him a charge, saying, "Thou shalt not take away a wife of the daughters of Canaan," a command. And Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. Isn't it interesting that he is willing to obey because his life is now almost in the balance, but not unless his brother became quite angry again and thought about what he had done or what had happened to him, then perhaps his life was going to be threatened. But now he leaves. He goes out to find a wife. And in verse 9, "Then went Esau unto Ishmael." Now, you remember who Ishmael is? That's Abraham's other son. That's Isaac's half-brother. Ishmael was born to Hagar and Abraham. Isaac was born to Sarah and Abraham. And so Esau goes to the Egyptian's handmaiden's son, who is now an adult and who has children, and he goes to take him a wife there of the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajeth, to be his wife. Now Jacob is going out from Beersheba, and he goes to Haran. So this is a place, a very special place that you will see in Scripture. It's going to come up again. On the way out, he goes past this place, and on the way back, we speak of the song, "Going Back to Bethel." Going back to Bethel. It's a place where we realize that we don't do things right, and we haven't done things right, and we can't go back into yesterday and fix things. You know, one of the sad things is, though, that people, they know things are not right today, and they may say, "Well, I'll get it right by and by. I'll go back later on." There are people who wrong a mother, or wrong a father, or wrong a neighbor, and they're not willing to make it right. And they keep thinking, "I'll do it right. I'll get it right someday." and they know the Lord has been dealing with their hearts about the matter, and they still won't do the right thing. And then by and by, the door is shut, and they can't fix the matter. And they bear that great burden. If you are a person that you must make things right with your wife, you must make things right with your husband, make them right. Now, there are certain things that certain dead and buried issues that there is no need for you to go and dig them up. Leave them buried. Leave them covered. As one time, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said he was talking to a woman whose husband was dying, and the woman wanted to make things right with her husband. And she asked him, "What shall I do? Shall I tell him of the things that I've done?" And he said to her, "No, let the fellow die in peace." She said, "But my husband thinks I'm a good woman. There are some things that I've done." He said, "Let the man die in peace. Don't tell him that. Don't tell him." Now, there is this kind of thing when you have a problem like that, and it's on you, and it's not going to help the person, but instead is going to hurt him. I heard some years ago that a man told another, "If you've ever done wrong, you go and confess to your wife all of the wrong you've done." Now, the man didn't have any peace about the wrong he had done, and when he was counseled to go and tell his wife all of the wrong he had done, the man was relieved of his problem, but guess what? The wife wasn't. She was robbed of her sleep. Now, you say, "Preacher, what do you do? What do we do in situations like this?" If the sin was known only unto God, confess it to the Lord and leave it there. It's under the blood. And have faith to believe that the Lord has forgiven it, because he has. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't dig up the things that have been buried by time. And you've built your home. If you've stolen money, make it right. Give the money back, plus the interest. Pay that. But there are certain things that would ruin the ministry. Will you have the peace that you need? Will you have peace? Will it destroy your children? Will it destroy their ministries? Say, "But I'm so afraid they're going to find out." Well, if the devil makes the accusation, he says, "Willie Thompson, I know about you." I say, "Yeah, that's right. It's under the blood," and go ahead to the next thing. I'm not going to let these things of the past come up and pop in my head. You know, that will hinder. The Bethel of the Scriptures here is going to become a very important place. Jacob goes out wrong. He'll face this way. He'll come back again this way. You know, you do what you can to make things right, but you ask God for wisdom. There are certain things that should not be dug up again. Father, we do pray, Lord, that thou wouldest speak to some hearts today. Bless the message. Help us to understand how we are to live. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy blood. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson at 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Greenville, zip code 29609. May the Lord richly bless you.